So when we look at the Bhagavatam's narration of how creation takes place, the biblical narrative of Adam and Eve being there in Eden, so how do we reconcile that? Is it literal or what? See, the Adam and Eve story, whether it is literal, that is a matter of debate even among Christian theologians. So there are, because there are several issues with that, because they say that if the immediate criticism of the literal interpretation of the Adam and Eve story is that now Adam is a person who lived long, long ago and he committed a sin. And that is also not a very grievous sin. Say it one apple. So now to say that because of that sin, now everybody is contaminated with evil. All the problems in this world have come because of that one thing alone. So you know, that means all the earthquakes that occur, all the AIDS that occurs in the world, all the millions of people, they die. They die because someone ate an apple. You know, if it had not been such a grave subject, it would be a laughing matter. So even from a philosophical point of view, the idea that that one act is the cause of all suffering for everyone, that is philosophically problematic. So another problem that comes up with the idea is that evil becomes transmitted like a genetic defect. Now from Adam, he is evil, and through him, because he is the progenitor of everyone, so everyone is evil. So there are Christian theologians also who give theological interpretations of this. And even the 7 days in which God created the world, whether those 7 days literally refer to seven earth days or they refer to phases within the earth history or whatever, that is also a matter of debate within Christian theologians. So now first thing we need to recognize is that it's like comparing oranges and apples. If I ask which fruit is better, is orange better or apple better? They're two different fruits. You cannot literally compare them. So the biblical narrative is coming from a particular frame of reference. It's coming from a particular way of looking at things. And the Bhagavatam narrative is coming from a different frame of reference. And that's why we cannot compare both of them. And the certain principles are definitely true. The principle that when there is our suffering increases because of rebellion against God. So if we consider Adam's act of eating an apple, not just as an act of eating an apple, but an act of rebelling against God, of wanting to enjoy separate from God, then that makes a broader sense. And then we also see that this is something which is the cause of our suffering. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Machitta sarvadurgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atha chettam ahankara na shoshyasi vinamishyasi. If you act according to my will, you'll be conscious of me, you'll pass over all obstacles. If you don't, you'll be lost. So if you look at that more in terms of principles rather than as a literal narrative, then we can make broad philosophical sense of the story. And whether it is literal, as I said, even Christians, they can't explain their own philosophical understanding and the basic problems of life by taking that story only literally. So that particular kind of, now there are some devotees who try to correlate Adam and Eve with one particular Manu called Adam and Havyavati. Now that sort of correlations are fine, but there is a whole, as I said, a worldview that is associated over there. And just saying that these names are present in the Vedas and those names are also present over there, this name is similar, it glosses over the significant philosophical differences that are there. So that particular incident, because it comes from a different frame of reference, we focus on the principles. We can't analyze from the Bhagavatam's perspective the principle of rebelling against God and that causing our suffering. That is a perfectly compatible principle. The literal narrative is, of course, as I said, it doesn't agree with the Bhagavatam narrative of things. And Jiva Goswami gives the explanation that, you know, the Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. So what to speak of literature like Bible, even within the Vedic literature, you know, we understand, because the Bhagavatam is what is written by Vyasa Deva, the maturity of the revelation. So the Bhagavatam is the highest Praman, and whatever other things are given in the other literature, in the other Puranas also, to the extent they agree with the Bhagavatam, to that extent we say that they are telling the truth. To the extent that they are not agreeing with the Bhagavatam, that means it is a relative truth given for a particular purpose. Just like we have certain scriptures which may talk about Saratanada Devata the Supreme. That is for people with a particular mentality to offer them limited elevation. So, Krishna's mercy, there is always the frame of reference for understanding the absolute truth. Without considering the frame of reference, we will not be able to understand what the absolute truth is. And the frame of reference is so important that once we understand the frame of reference, we will also understand the absolute truth does not always speak the absolute truth. What does that mean? In Govardhan Leela, Krishna speaks Karma Mimamsa. Krishna says, actually, why do you need to worship the devatas? You just do your duty. And the devatas will give, they are duty bound to give the results. This is not the Vaishnava philosophy at all. Why is Krishna speaking this? No, Krishna is playing with Indra's ego over here. He's telling Indra, you are irrelevant. He is inflaming Indra's ego. So the acharyas explain, and this is not just acharya's interpretation, they're not imposing their words on Krishna's words. Krishna himself speaks other things at other places. So the point is, even when Krishna speaks something himself, there may be a particular context in which he is speaking it. And in that, if we understand that context, then we will understand that this may not be the absolute truth all the time. So we have to understand the Siddhanta from the Shastra and then see everything in the light of that Siddhanta, whether be it within the Bhagavatam itself, within the broad Vedic literature, or within scriptures outside the Vedic literature also. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Any other questions? One last question.